Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
The table of the Lord and the Lord's Supper are often used interchangeably, but they are not exactly the same thing. They are connected, but can have separate applications. The Lord's Supper, communion, or Eucharist as it is called in most churches, is a celebration of the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his disciples in the upper room during the Passover. Passover is a very important holy day for the Jews. It is a celebration of God passing over them when he sent the 10th plague to Egypt, the angel of death, to kill the firstborn of each house. Any house that had the blood of a lamb marking its door was spared. As a result, Israel was brought out of Egypt where they had been in bondage. It is a foreshadowing of Jesus, the Lamb of God, shedding his own blood to cover our sins and lead us out of captivity to sin. Communion service involves wine or grape juice, depending on the degree of legalism in your denomination, and some form of bread or wafer. The word for communion is koinonia, which is also translated fellowship. It means at one with. The Lord's table encompasses the concept of fellowship. In Mark chapter 14, Jesus was in Bethany, which was one of his favorite places to visit. It was the hometown of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Luke's gospel records that the ascension of Jesus took place in Bethany. On one of his visits to Bethany, Jesus was at the home of Simon the leper, and he was reclining at the table. Sitting at someone's table is as much about the interaction and conversation as it is about the food. It is about fellowship. When someone invites you to their table, they are inviting you to have fellowship with them. Let's talk about the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his disciples. The story is found in all four Gospels, and there are a few interesting items I found in the narratives. Matthew and Mark mention that Jesus sang a hymn with his disciples. Wouldn't you love to hear that? One of my favorite things about fellowship is worshiping in song. In John's version of the story, he includes Jesus washing the disciples' feet, then telling them that they should do the same thing for each other. Most churches have regular times when they serve communion as one of the sacraments, but it is rare to find a foot washing service on any regular basis. Luke quotes Jesus as saying, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Then later, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will be done, but yours." Jesus eagerly looked forward to sharing the cup with his disciples, but he was not so eager to take the cup in the garden. The former cup was one of fellowship with those he loved. The latter cup meant separation from the one he loved the most. Paul gives an account, along with detailed instruction, concerning the Lord's table in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "Now in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. In the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. For there also have been factions among you, so that those who are real believers may become evident among you. I have been in circles where people assume the responsibility of deciding who is really saved and who is not really saved. This leads to spiritual cliques, and it destroys unity. Just before this, in chapter 10, he said, "Is the cup of blessing which we bless not a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is the bread which we break not a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." Fellowship and communion is designed to unify, not divide. He continues, "Therefore, when you come together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for when you eat, each one takes his own supper first, and one goes hungry while another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat or drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What am I to say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I do not praise you." So here's the picture. People were coming for the food, but not for the fellowship. I've been in church potlucks where the people at the front of the line pile up their plate with food, and it's slim pickings for those at the back of the line. Paul is saying, you might as well just stay home and eat. Now, the gospel according to Paul. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" In classic Pauline fashion, he looks back to the foundation of our faith, the vicarious atonement of Christ. Then he says we should celebrate it often in the present. And then he looks forward to the return of the Lord. Paul says he received this from the Lord. In Galatians he says, "I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel which was preached to me is not of human invention, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem." After his dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus, Paul spent 3 years in the desert being taught by Jesus himself. So when he says, "I received from the Lord," he means literally, he received it from Jesus. He goes on, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a person must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For the one who eats and drinks judgment on himself, if he does not properly discern the body. For this reason many among you are weak and sick, and a number are asleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world." For years I heard preachers use this passage to motivate people to confess their sins. And I also saw people refuse to take communion because they felt they were unworthy because of their sin. Now, of course, I believe in confessing our sins. 1 John 1:9 promises, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The misunderstanding is what constitutes an unworthy manner. Not discerning the body of Christ is what makes one unworthy. We cannot partake of the body of Christ when we don't recognize that we are all members of one another in the body of Christ. Jesus said, "If you are presenting your offering at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering at the altar and go be reconciled to your brother. Then come and present your offering." He also said, "If you forgive others for their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses." Pretty cut and dry. The great Lorne Cunningham, founder of Youth with a Mission, said, "Disagreements don't cause division in the church. Lack of forgiveness causes division in the church." I think communion service in church should not just move us to confess our sins to God. I think it should move us to reconcile with one another. Here's an idea. Next time you are in a communion service, before passing the bread and the cup, give opportunity for members to seek each other out and ask for and grant forgiveness. Then share the Lord's Supper together. Can you imagine what might happen? I give further teaching on the body of Christ in Since You Asked, episode 92. At the risk of splitting hairs, then, the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup, are a remembrance of the atonement of Christ. His body was nailed to a cross for us. His blood was shed for us. The table of the Lord is about coming together in His name. It is communion with Him, and it is communion with each other. In Jesus' high priestly prayer on the night of the Last Supper, He prayed, "I am not asking on behalf of these alone, but also for those who believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one, just as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be in Us, so that the world may believe that You sent Me." Jesus wanted His followers to be so united that their unity resembled the unity He had with His Father. Not only that, He was praying for you and I in that prayer. It is so important that He staked His reputation on it. In the refectory of the convent of Santa Maria del Grassi in Milan, Italy, you will find one of the most famous works of art in the world, The Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci. I have been there and gazed in wonder at this amazing masterpiece. You wait in an environmentally controlled room for 15 minutes so that you won't bring humidity with you. Then you get exactly 15 minutes to view the painting while the group behind you dries out. Da Vinci's Last Supper depicts the moment after Jesus informs His disciples that one of them will betray Him. By the way, Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code is a fictional book about a conspiracy theory. And one of the main pieces of the puzzle is that the character in the Last Supper in the Apostle John's place is really Mary Magdalene. The elephant in the room is that there are only 12 people with Jesus at the table. If Mary is one of them, where is John? Sadly, many people thought this story was based on fact, but it was just a novel. A fresco was usually painted with water-soluble paint on wet plaster, so the paint would cure into the wall. Da Vinci was a notorious procrastinator, and he knew it would take a long time to complete the work. He worked on it from 1495 to 1498, so he used fast-drying paint to allow him to make changes. As a result, the painting began to fade almost immediately. Over the years, humidity, dust, pollution, war and occupation, abuse by enemies of the church, and the wear and tear of time caused considerable deterioration. Attempts were made to restore it, but it still was far from the original image in its creator's mind. In 1978, major restoration began using modern techniques like infrared reflectoscopes and microscopic core samples, along with original drawings and likenesses. The refectory was sealed and climate controlled in order to preserve it for generations to come. The restoration was completed in 1999, with the original image as intended, and after 21 years, visitors were again allowed to view it. The rectory is the dining hall in the convent. Da Vinci used geometry to give the painting a sort of 3D effect, which actually makes it seem to become part of the room. As the monks shared meals together, They were given the sense that Jesus was sharing his supper with them. If you've ever seen images of this great work, you might remember that Jesus' hands are outstretched as though beckoning you to join him. He is saying, "Come and dine with me." I was so moved, not only by the genius of the painting and the remembrance of the supper Jesus shared with his disciples, I was also deeply inspired by its survival. Then I had one of those aha moments. We are all that painting. We were designed by our Creator in a certain image. But the wear and tear of time and the worries and cares of this world, the battles we have endured, the abuse we have suffered, have all contributed to the effacement of that image. But then something wonderful took place. Restoration began. The process is still continuing, while we are on display for all the world to see. I hope this message has expanded your view of the Lord's Supper and the table of the Lord. Communion is fellowship. It is fellowship with our Creator, and it is fellowship with one another. The next time you share the bread and the cup with other believers, make sure that you not only appropriate forgiveness from God, but make sure that as much as it depends on you, that you are at peace with all people. And I hope you can visit Milan someday and see this amazing work. And until then, the next time you see a picture of Da Vinci's Last Supper, gaze at it for about 15 minutes. Then take some time to thank God for restoring your soul. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me." This is Jim Barrier on Since You Asked.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.